Alyssa Walker Campbell is on the air.
Asking the questions you want to know.
With sports' biggest and best names. Chicago Bulls game analyst Stacey King.
The one thing about this team is that they're resolved. I mean, they continue to fight through injuries. We have guys on the bench that are stepping up. Our depth has been one of the reasons why we're one of the better teams in the NBA.
The fastest hour in radio. Big names, big sports talk. The Big E Sports Show, hosted by Alyssa Walker Campbell.
And we are back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. And before we get underway, we always like to direct our audience to our website. That is eradiosports.com. And we are very excited to have on board with us. It is a big weekend. Of course, the NBA Finals continue. And we are going to continue that discussion with Motez Bashara. He has just released a brand new book. It is titled Beating the NBA, Tales from a Frugal Fan. He is on the quest to buy the best NBA tickets at the lowest price. We're going to hear a little bit about that. We want to also get your insight, Motez, on the NBA Finals. First of all, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
We got a lot of ground to cover, because all I can say about the 2013 finals is, Motez, is that it's been pretty bizarre. I mean, you think of game one, the game one hero was Tony Parker, 21 points, but hitting that late basket to seal the win. Game two, the Heat dominate. Game three, a complete blowout. Who do you see prevailing in this year's finals?
In terms of who's going to prevail, I'm nervous. I don't know. I don't want to make any predictions, really. I could definitely see San Antonio winning it. But then it's really hard to bet against LeBron. He's probably my favorite player in the league right now, mainly because he plays unselfishly. He could score 30, 35 points any night he wants to, if not more. But he likes to get his other teammates involved, which I love watching. And that's diametrically opposed to a lot of other superstars, whether it's Carmelo or Kobe or a lot of other guys. A little bit more me first, and LeBron is just not like that, which I love to watch.
So how does Coach Spoelstra, how does he get LeBron a little bit more involved? Because I really believe after watching, portions of this series that there's just been too much standing around. He's got to get into the groove. We want him in attacking mode. You look at game three, Motez, he didn't even get to the free throw line. I mean, that's unbelievable. And that's the first time in his career during his time in Miami for that not to happen. And, of course, only shooting 7 of 21.
Yeah, that's bizarre. If it were me, I would put the ball in his hands right away and turn him into the point guard for the night. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see them do that, because he's the best point guard they've got. He's the best decision maker they've got. He's the best passer they've got. Mm-hmm. And obviously, he can drive to the hoop anytime he wants to. So if I were them, that's exactly what I would do. And he's going to start getting fouled pretty quickly. And some of the Spurs will probably get in foul trouble. So look for him to take control of possession pretty early.
Well, the Heat certainly have athleticism. They've got talent. And so we look for them, as the series continues on, for them to shift that mindset to be attacking and force the issue. But really, I know that you're a big LeBron fan, but you have to tip your hat to the amazing job that Coach Popovich has done to have his guys, this older team, ready to go, and really the job that they are doing defending LeBron with Leonard and Green.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, the Spurs are probably the best coach team in the NBA. Everybody says that. They play together. They play like a unit. They're disciplined. They're entirely unselfish. And they're unselfish on defense, too. They help each other out a lot, which is great to see. And boy, when those threes start raining in, they're hard to stop. I mean, Danny Green, I don't know how many threes he's had, but, these guys, once they start rolling, they just don't miss. And I've been to San Antonio, and I've seen that place rock and roll when the Spurs start piling up the points, and the momentum, it's like a steamroll. It's hard to stop. So absolutely, no, I tip my hat off to them, and their team, the personality of their team, works in San Antonio, because it's kind of a as far as the NBA cities goes, it's really. It's not a high profile. It's a very low profile kind of place. And even though they've got superstars, aside from Parker, they're pretty low profile guys.
You bring up several great points, and the one that I definitely can identify with is I've spent time watching the Spurs in action at the AT&T Center, and they're so energized by their fan base. And when they start hitting those three-pointers, it is really difficult. I mean, it can just blind you to get back into rhythm. And I will also, I want to touch on the fact that, you know, the Spurs really are playing team basketball. I just mentioned rhythm, sharing the ball, you know, the ball movement and the patience that they continue to show. And it's unconventional guys that are stepping up. It's not necessarily, you know, Duncan, Ginobili, and Parker, but in game three, setting an NBA Finals record with 16 three-pointers between Green and Neal, 27 and 24 points respectively. I mean, they were the player of the night. Honors go to them.
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, had anyone heard of Neal before that game?
Right.
Talk about an unsung hero coming out of nowhere. That was pretty phenomenal.
No, it absolutely was. Well, let's transition now. Let's talk about this brand new book that you have just released. This is an exciting time for you, Motez, because you are up in New York City, is that right? Promoting the book, and it is titled Beating the NBA, Tales from a Frugal Fan. And all I can say is I've done a lot of book reviews in the past, and this is definitely unique. It's different, and I'm sure it's a compelling read. Tell us about it.
Well, thank you. That's really nice to hear. The genesis of the idea of the book really came from traveling around the U.S., seeing some friends in different cities like Los Angeles. I lived in New Orleans for a while. I went to college in Boston. I grew up in New York. So I had the opportunity to see teams in different venues, and very often I was able to get better deals on the street than I was just rocking up to the box office and seeing what was out there. And this all started when I was in college, really, in Boston. And this was at the sort of tail end of the Larry Bird era. And they still had the big three, McHale, Parrish, Bird. And it was just impossible to get tickets. I mean, you either had to be a season ticket holder, in which case, you know, you probably were from Boston from 20 years before or something. And or you had to pay crazy amounts of money to ticket agents. Or the third option, and the most viable one for me as a freshman in college, was just to walk up to the old rickety Boston Garden and ply my trade with the street traders. And, at first it was a bit dicey, and I write about it in the book. I bought one ticket to see Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's last game in Boston, and I thought it was a great deal. I paid $40 for it. It was a $17 face value ticket. I walked in, I snuggled into my seat, and I realized half my view of the court was blocked by the overhang.
Oh, no.
So I hear people cheering on the other side of the court, and I had no idea what they were watching, which was a little bit frustrating, but it was a good learning experience. So, I looked at the stub, and it did say obstructed view. Now, in today's NBA, you don't really have obstructed view seats, but at the time, it was something to look out for. So always, grab the, not forcefully, but, you know, hold the ticket, look at it, make sure it's the right date, make sure it's today's game. You know, these are basic things, but you'd be surprised how many people, you know, pass over this. And look at the face value of the ticket. Take a seating chart with you. That's really important. You know, you can always pop one up on your phone. Look at where you're sitting, and then make an informed offer on the ticket. They normally, scalpers will normally not give you a price. They will normally ask, how much do you want to spend? What are you looking to spend? And so if you look at the ticket, I would say, you know, just bark out a number that's about 50% of what it is. If it's a $60 ticket, say $30, and you'll probably meet them somewhere halfway, like $40, $45. If it was a $60 ticket, the chances are that guy bought a spare off some guy walking in for, you know, maximum $20. So he'll take 40 for it.
So, Matez, like, if there's a particular game that you're looking that you want to go to, I mean, what is kind of your mindset, your attack mode? I mean, you start just going online and going to StubHub and eBay and Craigslist. I mean, how do you find the best deal? You almost sound like a stock trader, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's what I do full time. I invest in stocks for a living. So that's how I kind of came to understand the concept of value for an asset. And I know fundamentally that more often than not, the face value written on the ticket is really not linked at all to the market value of that ticket during game time. So as an informed consumer and as a fan of the NBA, I'd really like to get my money's worth, and preferably pay even less than market value if I can. And often I can, just by, you know, sheer opportunities. So you ask what my tactics are. Well, I start by trying to figure out what the market is on that day. So normally I wait till the very last day to buy a ticket. Sometimes a little earlier if it's a really big game, if LeBron is coming to town or if it's a playoff game or something like that. But ordinarily I just wait till the day of the game. And I pop open my laptop and I look at StubHub and I see how much tickets are going for in the lower bowl. And then I go on a site called SeatGeek, which aggregates all the secondary online sellers. And it ranks them from 100% score to zero, so from amazing deals to awful deals. And that's a really good barometer of what the market is doing right now. And then I'll go on Craigslist, and I'll see how many season ticket holders are looking to just dump their stock before game time. And if I don't like anything I see out there, I'll just rock up to the venue a little bit early. I like to get there about an hour before if I can.
I want to ask, I know you're out promoting your book right now, and are you going to have a chance to watch any of the finals?
Well,
in person.
I'm not going to San Antonio, although, I have been there before and I've gotten an amazing deal in San Antonio. I will say this about San Antonio. There are not many scalpers out there. I didn't see a single one on that night. It was the last, this was last season, and it was the last regular season home game for San Antonio. And my buddy and I got tickets off a season ticket holder who just didn't want to go to the game or couldn't make it for whatever reason. It was, I think, a $26 seat. Look this up right now. Yep, $26 seat. We paid $5 each.
Oh, wow.
We got this discount of 81%, uh-huh. Not including fees or whatnot. And that was $26 is the season ticket holder price. In fact, it was funny because we almost missed him. He was really late. He was on his bicycle. He wasn't answering our calls. We were meeting at a little divey Mexican joint, and we just thought, well, this guy, he's flaky. He's not going to come. And we're about to jump in a cab, and he shows up in his like 20-speed bike. Biking gear. He said, guys, wait. And then I guess he took pity on us for waiting. He said, look, just give me $10 for both tickets. So we got a pretty awesome deal. We sat in the upper deck. We had a pretty good view right in the middle, and yeah, we had a good time. So no finals games for me. I'm celebrating the book launch tonight in New York, and so we'll watch it, on the big screen.
Speaking of the book, tell me how you did the layout of it, and I understand that you also had a one-on-one interview with a scalper.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I broke down the book into several parts. There's a prologue and introduction, and then I broke it down into my trips. So I live in London in the United Kingdom, and I fly in. Yeah, I flew in for the games. I took transatlantic flights. So the first series of games I went to was 10 cities in 20 days. So it was pretty insane. It was a bit of a rock and roll kind of trip. And it was fun. I mean, my head was spinning by the end. It was like New Orleans to Memphis to Oklahoma City to Denver to Utah, and wow, that was fun, but it was a bit crazy. I break it down into my trips. So that's how it goes. And then in the middle, there is an interview with a nationwide scalper, a super engrossing conversation, in my opinion. I really liked what he had to say. And it digs deep into the mindset of, A, how these scalpers operate, and B, what their background is. I mean, who are these guys? And it transpired. I mean, he told me that he sees a lot of these guys from one event to another, whether it's NASCAR or the World Series or the Final Four or the NBA All-Star Game or, or big concerts. And he says a lot of these guys are actually, they're felons, they're ex-cons who society doesn't give a break to very often. So this is their way of legitimately making a living. So they pile into cars four or five at a time and go to game after game. And this is how they make their money. And they clear $40,000-$50,000 in cash every year. He was actually doing a little bit more because he was a little bit more high end. So it goes in the psyche of how they make their living and what their background is. And also he tells me some, tricks of the trade, some tactics of what to avoid, and, yeah, it was really interesting.
The title of the book is Beating the NBA, Tales from a Frugal Fan, a very savvy one to say the least, and we certainly appreciate you coming on the program. And where can they go and get a copy of the book?
Yes, you can find it on Amazon. It's available today, and you can click on Look Inside and read the first few chapters, and hopefully that'll pique your interest.
Okay, thank you so much for joining us, Montez.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
You bet. We're going to step aside much more straight ahead here in just a moment.